Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. A walkathon is a fun and easy way to raise awareness and funds for a cause that you care about. My guests today, McKenna and Stella, launched the Mayo Miles Walk to raise awareness around visual impairment, an issue that has affected both of their families. Their walk, which is happening next weekend, provides a unique and meaningful twist. Some participants are blindfolded and rely on their teammates for support and guidance, which is a wonderful way to increase empathy. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited to introduce you to two new friends today. I have Stella and McKenna, and they are going to tell us all about this wonderful work they do with the Mayo Miles Walk. It is a fundraising walk, and we're going to hear all about it. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. We're excited.
So why don't we start off with a little introduction situation here. McKenna, why don't you start? Tell us how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. And then we'll kick it to Stella. And then I want you to tell us all about this work that you're doing.
Yeah, so my name is McKenna Mayo. I live in the Eastern North Carolina, so Outer Banks area. I go to West Carteret High School and I am 16 years old.
Amazing. How about you, Stella?
I'm Stella McCore. I go to St. Mary's School in about Central North Carolina, and I am 17.
Amazing. All right, so tell us all about this walk. What is it all about? Why don't you start, McKenna?
Okay, so this walk originally started as a project after we've had finished our AP test. We were in a Scholastic Leadership Academy at West, and we were sort of pushed to make a real impact within our community. So Stella, do you want to talk about how we kind of jumped from there?
Yeah. So like McKenna said, after we had finished our AP exams within this program, towards the end of the year, we had something called an impact project. And I know McKenna and I were in two different classes at the time, but we were kind of going in between different groups. And we couldn't really find a project that resonated with us. And I had known McKenna, obviously, throughout the years when I did go to West Carteret High School. And we kind of came together and we're like, okay, well, why don't we do something with visual impairments? Because my brother, my younger brother, Miles, has Coates disease, and her father, which she can elaborate more on later, Mr. Shelton Mayo, has retinitis pigmentosa, also known as RP. And being in a small town, I hadn't really known anybody who had also dealt with the same things at the time. And so I was kind of able to connect with McKenna on a different level. And so our first kind of like task at the time was, okay, you don't think about what you're actually going to do. Don't think about the activity, just think about causes. So we were like, okay, well, what about visual impairments? Okay, well, we know that there's, you know, blindness is a spectrum. Visual impairments are a spectrum. They don't look the same for everybody. And so we kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. We had also decided that we wanted to do a walk. And so but the walk was going to be a little bit to build empathy within our community, to educate our smaller community about visual impairments. So yeah, McKenna, do you want to take over?
Yeah. And so we brought in a lot of like community partnership through this event. So we wanted it to be an event, not just the walk. The walk is blindfolded. So like we have this little path and you get on with teams and then you guide your blindfolded member throughout the path. But the event also includes a number of other things. Our first year we did it, we had speakers and then we had Jersey Mike's donate completely free food for us. And last year we had Chick-fil-A speakers and we also did like a little raffle. And combining both years, we raised almost $30,000. For Mayo Miles.
It's really amazing. I have to say, the whole idea of having the walk be blindfolded is just so brilliant, right? You could have just done a regular walkathon, right?
Everybody knows we do walkathons all the time. These are very popular ways to raise awareness, to talk about a particular kind of health condition or disease, to raise money. Obviously, it's a real community builder, right? People come out and they bring their dogs and all the things. You could have just done that. And perhaps talked a little bit about visual impairments and what they mean. And I want you both to tell us a little bit more about Coates disease and RP. And so our listeners can actually learn a little bit more about the various ways that people are visually impaired and what that means for their lives. But I love that you incorporated this issue of being blindfolded, because the need to have that empathy and to understand what other people are actually going through, and the need for your other senses to become sort of really heightened and to be vulnerable and to be able to rely on other people to help you. You know, these are all things that if we are able-bodied and we have our sight and we have our hearing, we don't really understand. So Stella, tell me a little bit about what Coates disease is and how that impacts your little brother.
Yeah, so my brother and I have a 7-year age difference. So when he was about 2 years old, my parents were taking pictures, obviously, and flash on, and when flash would come on, his eye would glow, his left eye would glow. And at first my parents were like, okay, you know, that happens when you take pictures of flash sometimes, that's probably not super abnormal. But then it kept reoccurring in the same eye over and over again. And then finally my parents took him to a Duke specialist, because we were so fortunate to have Duke nearby, and they are amazing and so skilled and knowledgeable. And so when they took him to Duke, they were trying to decide at the time, and I'm not sure what the medical term is for it, but they were trying to decide whether it was, or determine, but for various tests, whether it was cancer in the eye or this extremely rare disease called Coates disease. And so kind of going through that, you know, that was a really kind of really stressful process for our family through all the testing. But thankfully, with the support of Duke, they were able to determine from the testing that it was Coates disease. And so with Coates disease being a really rare disease, there's not the research on it is still developing. It's still upcoming to this day. But the reason that this disease stands out to me, and that it is so I'm able to use my knowledge from it, is because it's asymptomatic other than those pictures. And it doesn't affect my brother like total blindness would impact another person. My brother, he plays soccer. He's able to run with his friends every day. But like the other day, my mom had me take him to an eye doctor's appointment, and he could not read a letter that was blown up to about the size of a foot with his left eye. And that really stood out to me. And I was like, oh my goodness, like you would never know. But it also catches my eye that when he reads, he has to lean in so that he can see with a certain eye. It's just those subtle things that not everybody can notice and that he lives with. But yeah, that kind of just stood out to me, that the challenges for him are subtle. They're still there, but they're subtle. But it just kind of opens my eyes to the range of visual impairments.
Of course. So it only impacts his one eye.
Yes, Coates disease only targets one eye. It's retinal bleeding.
I see. So no one would ever have Coates disease in both eyes.
I'm pretty sure it's just one eye.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so on the positive side, he has one good eye.
Yes.
But then on the negative side, that one eye is being worked really, really hard.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I'm so happy to hear that, of course, he adapted and is living a full life and is engaging in all of the things. But, you know, there are going to be challenges throughout his life with this. And that's really important for people to understand. And McKenna, tell me a little bit about it's your father that has a condition. Tell me about that.
So he has a condition, as Stella mentioned, called retinitis pigmentosa, which is an extremely rare, incurable disease. It essentially means he has tunnel vision. So his peripheral vision is affected. In the center of his eyes, he still has perfect 20/20 vision. But like, if he has like essentially blinders on, he's also very tall. My dad is 6'5", so he can't see very far, but like below him. So sometimes when we go out to places, he'll accidentally trip on like kids.
A person,
or,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Kids, or you know, those like wet floor signs. Those are always a problem for him. And he uses a cane most of the time. He's been doing that for like a really long time since I was a little, he's been using a cane for a long time. I want to say since I was like 9, but he got diagnosed probably when I was like 7.
So this developed for him over time. He wasn't born with this.
Yeah. So Rhagmatis pigmentosa is, it develops over time. So it gets worse and worse over time. It can eventually lead to full blindness. I'm fortunate enough that that hasn't happened to him yet, but it's so, so different for everyone because it's progressive. So we don't know if that means next year he'll be fully blind or if we have 10 more years with him having vision. So yeah, that's definitely, I think the uncertainty of that is definitely a challenge for my family. And also my dad doesn't really like to like talk about it a whole lot. He's very involved with the, my dad's a teacher and he's a cross country coach. And so I think like Stella had said about Miles is that you wouldn't really know. I mean, besides his cane, that's something that he struggles with. I mean, yeah, when you shake his hand, you can't really like he finds a second to take your hand. But yeah, I think he's very resilient in that way.
Of course. And what you've both just described, you know, of course, Miles is a child and your dad is an adult and this, you know, he developed this over time. But when something like this comes to you, right, when you're handed this, you know, hand of cards, as they say, your dealt a hand, you have to play it. And you have to figure out how to live and how to thrive and how to be resilient and how to enjoy life and how to get the most out of life. And I think we all take for granted the beautiful things that we can see with our eyes. And when that is taken away from you in small ways and in large ways, peripheral vision, people don't really appreciate how much we use our peripheral vision.
Right, yeah.
You pointed out about walking and tripping and when we're driving and other things like that. Like, you know, all of this is all part and parcel of our collective need to understand people and their abilities. And it's better to say abilities rather than disabilities, right? Because I'm sure that the skills and the talents and the strengths that both your dad and Miles show and exhibit and the things that they're able to do, you know, those collectively are so much more important than these two conditions that they are dealing with and dealing with so beautifully. So tell me how this idea to do the walk blinded or certain individuals to be wearing the masks or whatever, how that kind of came to be. Did someone in the visual impairment community suggest that to you? Like, how did you come up with that idea?
I think it was just like a brainstorming thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We were kind of thinking like our teacher said, you can't just do a walk like that. There has to be another aspect to it. So we were like, okay, well, you know, if we're going to build empathy, what better way to do it than to really have people firsthand experience, even if it's just in the slightest, what it might be like. And so we've had a lot of, we didn't know, like, is this going to be offensive? Is this going to be, you know, how is this going to turn out? Is this dangerous? But it's gone amazing. And all the feedback we've had from the participants of the walk, they love it because not only do the blind, and people usually switch off like halfway through the walk, but the people blindfolded are learning, okay, these are the senses I have to tune in when I'm walking without my vision. And then the people guiding, because what we're trying to really hone in on in our community is how to support these individuals who have to rely on their other abilities. And so we are really, we're trying to teach the people in our community, okay, this is how you guide these people. This is how you support them. You know what I mean? And like, just in understanding that blindness is not like one direct, doesn't look one way. This is how we're aiming to do it. And I think too, that was our first part of the walk. And then we also have another really cool aspect of our walk is after we have an information session. So everybody comes in during, after the walk, and we have guest speakers come. So my dad comes in and he talks about his firsthand experience with Miles, just kind of educating the community on asymptomatic diseases and how you can catch them and kind of be in close contact with all of your visual clinics. And McKenna's dad talks a little bit about his personal experience. We usually have, this year we're having a representative from Foundation Fighting Blindness. They're usually pretty prominent there. And we usually have one or two people come in with their testimony, just kind of talking about their personal experiences. And the goal in having these personal experiences is to really show people how it affects them in many different ways.
And I think you've really hit on some important points here, which is people don't want to be pitied and they don't want to be babied. You know, they're visually impaired. They're not hearing impaired. You know, it's funny when someone has an obvious difference in their ability. Sometimes people raise their voices. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it's funny how people don't know how to react, right? They don't know what to say. And they're not sure how to interact with this person. And once you've, I live in New York City. So as you can well imagine, you know, if there's a visually impaired person or a person who's totally blind and they have their cane, if they come to a corner, they are, unless it's one of those ones that's auditory, you know, it makes a noise to tell you when you can walk, or it says walk now. We don't have a ton of those. So they are relying on other people around them to indicate that it's safe for them to walk before they get hit by a car. And they don't need you to hold on to them after they've crossed the street. Like, they're good. You know, like, they've been moving through the world for years and years and years. Like, they can handle themselves. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going. They just need a little help so that they don't get hit by a car. And so the ability to just say, hey, can I help you across the street? Great. And then move on, wish someone a nice day. And that's, you know, they're going to be okay. Right. McKenna, can you tell me how long is the walk? How many miles is it?
So it's a little bit less than a mile.
Yeah.
We didn't want it to be too long because we're doing it in the middle of June. It's hot.
Right.
But we do it on like this long bike path we have, and it sort of like loops around a little bit. And so they'll pass where we have like waters and stuff like that. And then people often switch out and stuff, but it's just under a mile. Yeah.
Amazing. And $30,000 is a significant amount of money to be donating. Where do you donate that money? Is there a particular foundation that you donate to?
Yeah, Stella?
We give it all to Foundation Fighting Blindness, and they have been an amazing partner to work with. We have a family friend, and his name is Rusty Kelly, and he's the management. I'm pretty sure he's the management director for the RD funds. And so it's been really, he's been an amazing contact to work with and a great connection. And Foundation Fighting Blindness has been so supportive, and we're really glad to continue to work with them.
Absolutely. And as you pointed out, you know, the research is so, so important, and we can't really count on our government anymore because they're cutting funding for research. So, you know, the private sector really has to step up. Do you know how many, McKenna, do you know how many people you've had involved over the years?
So we've had a lot of different people donate, but typically in terms of like who we get show up to the event, we get around like 100 to 150 people. We would love to increase those numbers, of course.
And actually, we are speaking today a few weeks prior, but this episode will come out a week and a half before the walk. So tell us when the walk is, McKenna, and where it is.
The walk is June 13th, and it'll be in Morehead City. You guys are welcome to sign up. It's a team event. You can find us through our link in our Instagram bio, or we have a website as well.
Amazing. And that's a perfect segue. So Stella, why don't you tell us the Instagram handle, your website, all of that good stuff so people can find you and donate and learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Instagram is Mayo Miles Walk. I'm pretty sure our website is Mayo Miles Walk at my.canva.site. And all of our information is in our bio and our Instagram. If anybody ever has any questions, they're more than welcome to ask us through our Instagram. It has all the information, all the dates, time there, all our previous, you know, records of all the things that we have done through this walk should be on our Instagram.
Awesome. And you know what? I wonder if someone hears this and they have someone who's visually impaired in their own life and they would like to kind of take this model and do a similar walk in their own community. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, it's just such a wonderful idea. I just think, you know, someone might hear this and say, well, we can do our own walk just like this. And I think it's just fantastic. I will have all of that information in the show notes. So if folks want to find you, well, Stella, McKenna, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. It's just such a wonderful story, you know, taking a difficult situation, a challenge, a health challenge, and turning it into something really positive that's teaching empathy and bringing your community together and educating others and uplifting those who are visually impaired and who feel unseen. No pun intended there. It's really just wonderful work. So keep going. Congratulations. Really rooting for you guys. And I hope the walk next week is very successful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. This has been amazing.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.